And with the collapse of the former superpower,
several powerful factions now vie for control.
The threat is real. An evil organization calling itself SCAR.
Known only as SCAR.
Their goal,
nothing short of total world domination.
Led by this man,
known only as Iron Claw.
We will be victorious!
Not on my watch!
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We're talking about G.I. Joe Extreme. We are plotting our way. That's the wrong word. Plotting's the wrong word. We are pushing aggressively our way through G.I. Joe Extreme Season 1. We are nearly done with Season 1.
What do you think the definition of plotting is?
Plotting implies we are not enjoying it, but we have been generally enjoying Season 1. Well, we plotted through Deke, especially Season 2. We are not plotting through this.
We trudged through Deke. Plotted is not nearly strong enough. It was a Bataan death march, what that was.
It was a bridge over the River Kwai. We were just doing that whistle that they did in Spaceballs all the way through Deke Season 2. It was rough, but G.I. Joe Extreme, this is an episode called Winner Take All. I want to say it's like episode 11 of 13 of Season 1. So we are here. We are going to finish Season 1 before the end of the year. We'll maybe even finish it by Thanksgiving. So great job, us. Great job, everybody. We can finish this season of G.I. Joe Extreme by Thanksgiving and do all Christmas episodes just like I know Gina wants to do in the month of December and then get on Season 2 come January. I just came up with that plan. I think it sounds great.
Look, wow. I want October to be nothing but Halloween cartoons. I want November to be nothing but Thanksgiving cartoons. And I want December to be nothing but Christmas cartoons, maybe with a Hanukkah thrown in. But that's what I want for 3 months. And we are almost halfway through October and we are doing nothing.
Well, we didn't do nothing. The episode we gave the people when our scheduling got completely busted, we did give them, hilariously, we gave them a Halloween episode of this show
that was done
in November of that year because we never do Halloween correctly.
We did not experience it. That's like,
well, Gina, you didn't experience it at all because you weren't even on that episode.
Since we didn't actually record it in present day, that is like being married to someone who's like, I would like sex, and then you saying, okay, go watch porn. Like, it is not the same thing at all.
Gina,
you're not
marriages.
Involved.
What are you talking about right now? That's pretty
normal.
Yeah,
how do you have that experience having not been married, Gina?
Yeah, that's a little bit weird. Anyway, moving forward. So hold on.
Yes. I just got to say that we have developed these policies and procedures for a reason, because if you look up Thanksgiving episodes of cartoons, they're all bad. There are some pretty good Halloween episodes. All Thanksgiving episodes are bad. All Thanksgiving specials are bad. There is not a good one on the
lot.
No, not false.
We like them every year. We like them every year.
We like the
Garfield one. We like the Fat Albert one.
That was also BC's first Thanksgiving last year and almost died. The show almost ended after that episode.
I liked it.
God damn.
Oh, lordy. I think that, like if we just do more Halloween all November, I would be completely happy with that.
That sounds like us. I just want to do one, like just pick one good Halloween episode, because I really want to get all the G.I. Joe Extreme done and the He-Man done and have it all done in time for Christmas.
No, look, here's the list of the 14 best Thanksgiving episodes in animated television. All right, I'm going to just go.
This is going to be just like when Ray was like looking for houses for us, and like he starts talking and I'm like, I'm just waiting for him to get to the part where like, oh, yeah, this is only 300 square feet for $800,000. Like, that's why it's still on the market.
Welcome to L.A.
No, here it is. I'm going to run through them real fast.
Where's the 300 square feet?
Animaniacs, the episode called Turkey Jerky. Steven Universe, an episode called Gem Harvest.
That's awful.
Yeah, I remember that one. It was very upsetting.
Steven Universe, there's a South Park episode, Teen Titans Go. Look, okay, so far, no.
Every episode of Steven Universe is great.
Regular show, the Thanksgiving episode.
Garfield Thanksgiving trash.
Wait, did we watch the Garfield Thanksgiving yet?
There are like two of them, and I think we've watched them both.
Okay, well, there's one. Rocco's Modern Life, Turkey Time. That would be a good one. American Dad, Hey Arnold. Ooh, a Winnie the Pooh Thanksgiving. That sounds old.
I feel like we tried to find that one, and it just wasn't available.
Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Did we do that one?
Of course we did. That's like the most famous one, and we have absolutely done it for this show.
Yeah, I seem to recall.
Well,
it being
I feel like I listed at least three that we could do.
We'll discuss it. We'll
look,
take
if
it under advisement.
There's a whacking off Animaniacs. We'll discuss it. I know how we work here.
Tweet at us and tell us how many Thanksgiving episodes you would like us to do, how many Halloween episodes, and how many Christmas episodes.
But no. Get us some good ones. Ones that won't make us want to gouge our eyes out.
I don't care about the number.
Find a... Oh, Jesus.
Look, we complain when shows are too good. We watched Batman the Animated Series when someone on Patreon suggested it, and we were all like, whoa, it's too good. It's hard to make fun of. It's hard to talk about. Blah, blah, blah. So it's better when they're bad.
There's a line. And beyond that line, fun to talk about because it's bad becomes an excruciating experience for all parties involved. I do not want to do that again.
Yes, we have.
I have a child now. I have a responsibilities to live up to. I don't want him to lose his father to Deke. That would be a horrible origin story for a supervillain.
I just don't want to touch that sentence on any level in any way.
Look, your kid knew what he was getting into when he was born to a podcaster.
Thank you.
He was the one child who did ask to be born. Lobbied hard for us, which is weird, but I guess that's on him. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Have you bought him? Like, is he going for Halloween as a podcaster this year? Because I really feel like you got something there.
Tell him to stop showering now, and he should be just the right smell by the time October 31st rolls around.
Wow, you realize you're a podcaster too, Gina, right? You know that.
How do you think she knows what it smells like? Please. But anyway, guys, the live action of this G.I. Joe Extreme is maybe one of the most interesting. It's never been more obvious that the voice actor and the physical actor were two very different people. And this was very much dubbed like Rumble in the Bronx, where they performed it in English and then dubbed it over in English afterwards. What a delight. But it's about basketball. And you have Freight, who's the big guy with the dreadlocks. And he's kind of a minor character.
No, he has a do-rag.
Yeah,
you're thinking of the other guy.
Ray? I feel like that was super racist.
How is that racist?
Because
I swear to God, I thought he had dreadlocks.
With dreadlocks on the show, and this
was better than
him.
A white dude with dreadlocks on the show. That's racist.
He has an accent. He has a deeply pseudo Jamaican accent.
Yeah. So
and
why
you
and
confused him with the dude who talked like this?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
You can't even tell black cartoon characters apart.
I think the Predator having dreadlocks is also upsetting. Just for the record, thank you.
Freight does not have dreadlocks.
This is real disappointing. And I've been spending all day talking about how Dave Chappelle's a racist. Now I got to add you to the list, too.
Look,
they do not animate this the cleanest. The graphics are not always the best.
Oh, my God.
When he's running around always in the background, it's easy to think that the Jamaican dude has dreadlocks. This is not out
of the
range of
a dying man. The animation made me do it.
Is that like Roseanne when the medication turned her all racist?
Yeah.
Are you on Ambien right now, Ray?
They're not animated at all in the same way. One of them is wearing sunglasses, first of all, the entire time. The second one is about eight times bigger than him. Also, the Jamaican dude wasn't even in this episode.
Okay, wait a minute. Now I've just realized I've conflated two characters and I'm a super racist. Shit.
Yes.
I see my mistake now. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and get my hood out of storage because apparently it's time for the rally. Oh, no. What a disaster.
I only remember the do-rag specifically because there's a point in here where, you know, like... these characters like wear their things so you know who they are, but like he comes off of the football field, pulls off his helmet, still has a do-rag on. Like, what the fuck?
That's kind of great.
Why are you still doing this? It's like, I got a job as a cook, and I'm still wearing my G.I. Joe fatigues, you know, with like the bandolier of grenades.
Wait, there are definitely football players who still wear a do-rag under their helmets.
Absolutely. Who's the racist now, Chan?
But he doesn't need to be.
I just don't want it to be me. That's all.
Yes.
I also can't tell the white dudes apart on this show either, just for the record.
You've both been problematic in the first 5 minutes of describing this.
But Gina, you love the Chappelle special, so talk to us about that.
Yeah, I don't watch anything without a narrative, so I will never be involved in this conversation because people who sit down and willingly watch stand-up specials are fucking insane. I don't care what it's about. You realize, like, we know 8 bajillion comedians, right? And they all want us to go to their stand-up specials. This is like me sitting down and being like, you know what I want to watch on TV today? A pap smear. I just want to watch hours of a pap smear.
Wait, is that what you do for a living these days? What is happening?
Can you get paid to do that? I would say that it's good work if you can get it, but it sounds like terrible work.
No, not good work at all. Bless the people who do it for the love of the game.
For love of the game.
So this opening scene, we're all getting canceled. That's it.
Not me. I'm making money watching pap smears.
You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about how that podcast crew was coming to the house to try to lure me into saying some transphobic shit so I could get canceled. And you all just agreed, no, you're going to cancel yourself on this show soon enough. It turned out I should have bet on you. God damn it. Anyway, so we're playing basketball and it's between two characters and it's between Freight and a dude. I do not know who that is. I do not know who that other character was. Another minor character of the G.I. Joe team.
Oh, the guy who was playing basketball with?
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure it was Metalhead.
No. Metalhead is the blonde guy.
Yeah, Metalhead was blonde and talks in a very specific way.
No, this is the handsome, like, brown-haired guy that doesn't.
Oh, it's the guy who isn't Lieutenant Stone. It's the other, it's like the co-leader guy.
Sergeant Savage? No, it wasn't Sergeant Savage. This guy was little.
I mean,
that's it. I don't know who this dude is, but he was a Joe team member.
You realize he's an actual human being and not a cartoon, right? Because the cartoons, these people are like Incredible Hulk sized, of them.
I got thoughts about that a little bit later.
Even like the mailman is gargantuan.
Well, Karl Malone is a 6'8", so that makes sense.
No, that is fair.
He only looks big compared to John Stockton. Of you, and you loved it. And Chan got it. So how about that for a miracle?
There you go.
You kidding me with John Stockton right now? It is happening. Me and Chan did a sports.
Oh my god!
And it wasn't wrestling. So look, I'm happy right now. That's fine. I can, you know what? Show's over. Bring it on. Just use all the stuff about houses we talked about before we got on. Now, I thought we were going to do a thing where the big character is challenging the little character, right? And the little character is going to like pull off a move and win. So I was all just
That's
like,
what you thought this was about?
I did, yeah. Because I didn't know it was an episode about Freight.
Have you ever seen TV?
Well, look, because the other time we saw Freight, he was being used by maybe this same character to lift that tank up off the ground. And so the other guy who bet on Freight, like, got over. So I kind of figured a bet, Freight's involved, this little guy is going to get over. So he's like, we're going to play basketball for nebulous purposes. He goes to take the shot. Freight jumps in the air, grabs the ball. Has the wherewithal to say, it never touched the rim, so I can just dunk it now. That's not how anything works. He dunks it, rips the entire like hoop off and the entire like backboard off the thing, and is like, we're done. You have to do my shift. You have to do my like overnight shift tonight. Fuck you. And I was like, wow, that is not where I thought this was going even a little bit.
I will say, I wrote in my notes, this is kind of a good bit. I did
ballistic.
Not hate it.
It was ballistic.
Ballistic. Okay. Thank you. How about but Gina coming through with names? What is the weirdness of this episode?
Wow.
I'm going to complain about the
episode.
Writing
I
next.
I paid attention to it.
Gina's going to be dropping fun facts about each extreme character as we go.
I'm gonna jump wild. In with more Gary the Glove Payton references because why not?
You did not. I am beside myself. I don't know what's happening. Gina knows all the characters' names and I don't. Chan's dropping NBA knowledge on me, and I'm a mega racist. Welcome to Knowing Is Half the Podcast, season two five.
Two out of three.
Two out of three, unfortunately, is bad. Oh, let's just roll with my own stupidity. Okay, the episode begins, and Rampage is going into a lab. Rampage is going into a lab. That's where we start off right here. This dude, Freight, jumps off a building. This is crazy. He's like 10 stories in the air. He just like jumps and runs down the building like Mission Impossible, where they've got those like tethers to them, except he doesn't have one. He just sort of runs and rolls down the building and then ends up grabbing a tank as it's driving away. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, we're not even trying with physics in this one so far.
He is supposed to be gigantic. Like, he is like this world's the Hulk.
I mean, he really is. They should use him more, probably, because he could do a lot of stuff. Hasn't really been a featured player.
I mean, even in the opening scene, he's taller than a basketball net. Like, right? Like, or he's...
Didn't consider that. You're right.
Because they show and they like do this thing with perspective where it's like, because they're obviously live action, so they have to do this thing with perspective where they show Ballistic like looking up at him, and Ballistic is not a small dude either.
It's not.
And he's like looking up at him like he's looking at the Chrysler building or something like that. Like, it's crazy. They're setting up that Freight is supposed to be humongous.
Yeah, he's gigantic. He ends up jumping on the vehicle where Rampage is trying to get away. Rampage ends up shooting Metalhead, who's in a vehicle, blows it, and it's about to teeter off of a cliff. This was genuinely surprising because Rampage is like, you're going to save your friend or get me, the classic Joker bit. And Freight's like, I got to go save my friend. He runs over to try to like grab the vehicle to pull it up off the cliff. And then like, it doesn't work. The vehicle falls off the cliff and Metalhead is in the hospital almost killed.
It doesn't work. He should have grabbed Metalhead.
Why would you grab
the fucking motorcycle?
Also, I'm surprised that they immediately cut the tension of whether or not he's dead by like 5 seconds later showing him like pretty much fine in the hospital. I mean, he's got a cast on, but
he's
there's
not
someone
fine.
Always
he's
with a
up.
Cast on in this. But like when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, is the rest of this episode going to be like trying to get to the bottom of that ravine and find his mangled body?
Jesus.
This is still a show for kids, Gina.
Yeah, you're telling me they can't. I mean, they don't have to show the mangled body. Stand By Me was a kids movie. They're looking for a body through that whole movie.
Stand By Me was a kids movie, Gina?
Yeah.
A kids movie. Yeah. A movie intended for children to see.
I feel like that's not the case. Wait a minute. I'm looking it up because I don't know that it's... Maybe it is PG, but I kind of felt like it was R, wasn't it?
It was like made for teens.
It's a Stephen King
story.
It's a
coming of age movie, but it's not made for teens.
I think it was made for teens.
Teens watched it.
Stand By Me is... doesn't say.
Certificate R. It is an R-rated movie.
Yeah, kids watch
Child
R-rated
Gina
movies all the time.
But it's not made for them. You're not supposed to. It's legally, there are rules in place to prevent children from watching this.
Okay, I'm just saying you can be on the hunt for a mangled body in a cartoon as long as, like, I'm saying when they find him, he's still alive. They could just be like, we got to return the body to his family. And then it's just them getting to the bottom of the ravine and being like, oh, my God, like, here's a rock that, like, there's blood on this rock. Maybe this is where he bashed his head in. But then they find him and he's crawled into a little cave so that the animals wouldn't eat his gangrenated leg off of his body. And they find him and they're like, we got you just in time. And then he's in the hospital and he's more or less fine. But give us a little tension there before you tell us he's okay.
You know what? On further consideration, that does sound very child friendly, and I am for it. Let's do it.
What is happening? Oh my goodness. Okay. So Metalhead's in the hospital with the, if I remember this correctly, he's got the world famous head bandage, which you do not get very often except in cartoons. Then you get it all the time. So I'm excited they went for the head bandage maneuver. Black Dragon
is that like
is
quicksand?
There.
Like
it is like quicksand, only found in cartoons in the 80s and 90s. The
but
world
you
famous head
when
bandage.
You, when you grew up, that you would have some sort of head bandage around you at some point.
I guarantee it. I would
you
fall in quicksand.
You can have a
head bandage
on whenever you want. That's the benefit of being an adult.
What? You're saying I could just buy one of those?
Yeah, it's usually just gauze. Like I was just watching an episode of Mr. Robot and he imagines himself shooting himself in the head. And then next scene he has gauze on. He doesn't really need it because it was all a figment of his imagination, but he's got gauze wrapped around his head.
Wow, were you watching Pi instead of Mr. Robot? It sounds very much like an Aronofsky joint.
Could go for some Pi.
No, if you've never seen Mr. Robot, it's a lot of it takes place in his head.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very good.
You know what? I'm not going to take that from you, Ray.
I
quit that
Ray
for
probably
one
did
season.
Not
I thought
understand
it was a terrible
it.
Reveal.
Yeah, this feels very Legion-y to me.
Like, yeah, this I feel like Ray was like, "Whoa, what's this guy doing?" Like, "Oh, he's
much
he's
like
just,
Fight Club."
How come no one else can see this
guy? Unnecessary dual person reveal. And if you look back on it, it really doesn't make any sense. Some of the scenes that happened because of that reveal, it was not good. And as soon as they announced that at the end of season one, spoiler alert for this old ass show, I said, "I am this. No, I'm out. I'm done. I don't care. I'm out." Thankfully, Rami Malek appeared in the video game Until Dawn and won it back by love of him from losing it all in Mr. Robot.
Chan, I think he didn't understand it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he didn't.
What is there not to understand? We pretend these two people are the same person, even though none of that makes sense based on anything else that happened on the show.
He just proved that he didn't understand it, Chan.
Okay.
Don't let him talk you out of it.
How dare
Look,
Chan,
I still have to watch Foundation, so I'm not going to be getting to this anytime soon.
Well, you got to watch the Foundation before you can watch The Attic. Everybody knows that.
Is there a show called The Attic, or did you just pull a building reference to?
Yeah,
try and
I think
seem
it's
cool.
Like a sad attempt at a joke.
I was going for a building reference. I don't this do is... jokes, Gina. I think you would know that by now.
So
I do building references and basketball refs. That's all I do. Now, they're in the hospital, and Metalhead tells Freight. Freight's like pissed. He's so upset. He's like the Detroit Lions head coach after yet another loss. He's just fucking crying. Good job.
Oh,
and
he's not pissed. He's like, he feels so much guilt.
He's upset about
guilty.
It. He tried so hard and came up so short, and now people are hurt all around him, and it's his fault. So my point, and I'm talking about Freight now, not the Detroit Lions head coach, but it is applicable. Now, Freight, Metalhead goes out of his way and Black Dragon goes out of his way to say, dude, like, it's not your fault. It's Rampage's fault. He put him in this position. And Freight's like, I should have saved him and I did not. I got a lot to think about. And he leaves the room and you're like, no, he's not going to. Come on, dude. You're not possibly cutting back to the bad guys. Rampage is telling Iron Claw, y'all gotta pay me. We're not telling Iron Claw this. He brings this MacGuffin, he brings this thing to Iron Claw, but he has this lady assistant. I don't know if you've seen her before.
Also, no. I don't think she's an assistant. I think she's a second in command, you fucking misogynist.
What do you think an assistant is?
I don't know.
Other than a second in command.
Do you think vice presidents and assistants are the same job, Ray?
I think the vice president is assistant to the president.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's not really how it works, but...
Kamala Harris is assistant to Joe Biden. That's how it works.
Wow, you're getting canceled for a lot of reasons on this episode.
Well, I'm not saying it because she's a woman. She's the vice president of the United States.
Yeah, try and walk it back now. Try and walk it back.
Also, while you're making these jokes of like sort of faux racism, you probably should also actually pronounce her name correctly. Otherwise, people are going to 100% figure that.
Wait,
you're
how did I pronounce
her
right? That I was actually proud of myself when I said it that I said it right.
She's repeatedly.
Rewind the tape.
Told
I did not say
Kamala,
Uganda giant. I did not say it this time. I have learned and I have grown. How dare both of you right now? She's also definitely not the vice president of Iron Claw Society, so stop that noise right now.
I'm sorry. If you wear a cloak that big and a hat and a goddamn eye patch, you are the underboss. You're not, yeah. You're not just a lackey. You don't get to come to work like that.
You're not a foot soldier being fought in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game. You're definitely Bebop and or Rocksteady.
Yeah. And I need a lot more of this person because somebody got real deep into anime and was like, we need to put this character in here.
No,
and
she doesn't do anything. But also Bebop and Rocksteady are very clearly not the vice presidents of the foot organization.
Yeah, they're also not assistants, dude.
They're not assistants. They don't assist the Shredder with kicking Ninja Turtle
butt. Purposely being obtuse with the word assistant at this point.
Someone who assists. Like John Stockton. He was the assistant to Carl Malone. Thank you.
You know what? I'll give you that one. That was a pretty good pull.
Thank you. I'm going to take any strap of points I can get off this episode because this is one of my worst showings ever.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe.
But here's the Cobra Mamba.
Cobra Mamba, his power is brightening out of the blue. It strikes like lightning.
The Cobra Mamba is a fast attack copter with laser guns and missiles.
These are for squitters.
The Mamba's sides detach to become attack pods.
Triple threat, meanest yet, Cobra Mamba.
Go, Joe!
But nobody beats G.I. Joe, the real American hero.
Cobra Mamba and other vehicles and figures sold separately.
Go.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
No, I was saying that the sort of thing like I'm quitting because I feel guilty about this thing is ridiculous, yes, but it feels like a genuine human emotion.
Uh-huh.
So when it happened, I'm like, oh dang, we're gonna do this thing, and like, yeah, of course it's going to be silly because it's a cartoon for kids, but also like it hangs together. The logic holds up, and you know, like however this turns out, like I'm already on board. And I will say, for the record, I would just jump ahead and say the only misstep I think this episode made is that it's called Winner Take All, and there is no ABBA whatsoever.
Okay,
that's
fair.
Bullshit.
And as is a G.I. Joe Extreme tradition, they did do a music video at the end.
They had the opportunity.
Perfect opportunity.
They had the motive, and they did not execute.
No, with this scene here, because Rampage doesn't want to give the thing to the lady. We don't know her name. I don't think so.
Call her Captain Harlock, for God's sakes.
Captain Harlock. Is that her name?
No, but she is this, like, literally everything that she is wearing and how she is wearing it looks like Captain Harlock.
Well, she delivers it to Claw and pays a Rampage. Cool. They have a little bit of a tense moment, but it's like, whatever. She delivers it, and he's like, I'm going to use these chips, and we're going to improve living weapons. And he basically, it doesn't say it, but it's like, what we did to Wreckage, we can do. And remember that whole episode where he goes to that like poor farming village and finds himself? That was wild. He says, we're going to do this. We're going to enhance Wreckage right now. So he goes to Wreckage, and it's kind of a cool, I really like this scene a lot, actually, where Iron Claw says, hey, we got this upgrade to your cybernetic parts. And Wreckage is like, look, you know, I answer to you. I work with you. We do a thing. How can you, as somebody who nominally respects me and knows what I've been through and knows more than even Wreckage knows, how can you possibly ask me to do this? Fuck you. And I loved it. And then they cut over to Captain Harlock, who seems like she's getting some ideas. Like, I automatically assumed after they panned over to her after this conversation that she was going to enhance herself with the parts, right? Did you guys feel that way as well?
No.
She had a look in her face. It was definitely like, because he's like, I'll find somebody. And she's like, not me. I
got
to find somebody
because
I don't want to. Yeah,
that was definitely the look was definitely like, oh, shit. You better find someone who isn't me.
Oh,
also,
well.
I think her name is Sawsad.
What? Sawsad?
S-A-W-S-A-D.
Stop it. You made that up.
No, I'm looking at the cast.
You're thinking of an upset lumberjack right now, and it's possessing you.
I am looking at the cast for this episode right now. And
can we just call it Captain Saucy? No, that sounds sexist. Mix it up a little bit. Sausad? Done.
yeah, I think her name is Sausad.
Well, okay. If you insist.
Because it says she's voiced by Angela Costain, and that was the only real, like, that was the only woman in the episode. Yeah,
there was no other woman in this episode.
Yeah, so it's got to be Sausad. One All word. Right. One Sausad. Word.
I wonder how often she shows up after that.
I mean, there's definitely a photo of her in an episode that we haven't seen yet. Oh, episode 2, season 1, Scar Under Siege, so...
Well, in season 6, we'll get there.
Oh, also, I just saw a spoiler that makes me kind of excited.
Oh, all right. Well, don't share it. I like getting excited.
Oh, wait. Or her name is Steel Raven? She looks like this character also.
That looks much more like a Steel Raven.
I would believe her name is Steel Raven. Okay. And I don't know anything about her at all.
I think maybe she's... Okay, I'm putting a picture in the chat. That's got it. That's her, right?
Bing, bing, yes, bing, that is 100% her.
Yeah.
She's got an eye patch. She got that hat. Yeah, that's Steel Raven. Steel Raven is her name, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Gina coming through with a second character name. This is one for the ages.
It even says she shows up. So this was her first episode.
Okay, that makes sense.
And yeah, I immediately was like, why has this chick not been in this all the time? Oh, it says in season 2, she takes on a major role in the series and gets an updated uniform to go with.
Oh, shit, an updated unicorn.
She has a unicorn in here and they're going to update it? Fuck.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking forward to season 2 and Steel. I'm looking forward to season 2 being the Steel Raven season.
We call it the era of Steel Raven. And if we haven't, we will, because that's amazing.
Yeah, she's cool. I wanted more of her.
Okay. So cutting over to Freight, he's quitting. He's quitting, and Lieutenant Stone, I think it is, says, no, you're not. Take a break. Take a couple of weeks. You got some vacation saved up. And he's just like, you can call it taking a break. I'm not coming back. So whatever makes it right in your head. And he says, take a break. Metalhead got 2 breaks. Broken legs or whatever, and I'm just like, that's a good line, good on you, dude. And then a very left turn moment, he says, I'm gonna go back to being a professional football player. Like, he's full-on Pat Tillman, happier ending, but he's gonna go back from the military, the nebulous military, to going back to play professional football at the highest level, because we find out he was the number 1 overall draft pick of the NFL. Wow.
Yeah. Him, obviously.
Him and NFL Super Pro have that in common.
He would tear NFL Super Pro's head off.
Yeah. Again, he's a giant. It would be like if the Hulk played football. They don't care how long you've been gone. You don't need to try out to come back.
No, he just shows up on and I don't know how contracts worth. I don't know what team he's even signed by. Like, I guess who's going to tell him? No. Like, also, he's like, I play for the T-Rexes now.
If you did NFL Super Pro, you can absolutely do some G.I. Joe Extreme characters on Who Would Win.
Man. You know, we haven't done a G.I. Joe Extreme character on Who Would Win show in a little while now. We are due to do one more before season's end. We've done it 3 times. 4
G.I. No, Joe Extreme characters?
Not extreme. No, we used Snake Eyes. We just used Snake Eyes.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're crazy pants.
Like, everybody knows Steel who Snake
Raven.
Eyes
what
is.
What the fuck are you talking about, Chan? And we're going Steel Raven on the Who Would Win show. Let's go.
I would be so into that.
Well, we might have to wait a season until I find out what she actually does.
Steel Raven versus Captain Harlock. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Book it. Chan, special guest. Arguing. Harlock. I don't know. I'd be into it. It'd be kind of fun.
Don't you? I know that how much you love anime characters that nobody knows, has never heard of.
Kill me.
Let's do this.
I mean, here's the deal. I'm somehow into it, Chan. So let's go. April Fool's episode. We'll bring you on. We'll do 1 point. I don't know. Anyway, Curtin. I did not know also that Freight's real name is Omar Diesel. That's rad. What a cool ass name.
Omar Diesel. Oh, no. Okay. That's like something that would be like in a YA novel of someone who's like writing their very first YA novel. Like, oh, she looked over at Scott Falcon and
Scott Falcon
and Omar Diesel. How could she love such two different men?
Oh my God. Yeah, his name is Omar Diesel. Drafted number one overall. He's bigger, stronger, and faster by like 2 feet than every other person. These are professional. Look, guys, here's the thing about professional football players that everybody I don't think understands. The least athletic person in the NFL is 10 times more athletic than you will ever be. That's how it works. These are the most athletic, strongest, fastest people in the world. And Omar Diesel here is ragdolling 3-4 at a time. This is ridiculous. Watching this like training montage that he does. It's crazy. So we cut over to Sports Talk, a Sports Talk like SportsCenter ESPN type show. And Iron Claw is watching SportsCenter, which the idea of that is wonderful. I fucking love it. Iron Claw, after planning to take over the world, needs to know the Bulls score. Like that thrills me to no end. And he's like, oh, Freight's name is Omar Diesel, and he plays in the NFL now. Now, to any supervillain, that would naturally mean, so he's not going to bother me anymore. He's rough. I don't want to deal with him. But Iron Claw says, he's out of my hair. Better pull him back into the fold again.
He seems perfect for enhancement. Why wouldn't I make him even stronger?
He hates you, Iron Claw. This is the worst idea you've ever had on multiple levels.
Yeah, so this to me was the one sort of flaw with this episode, was that like, because for a second I was like, wait, does it do something to their brain also? Because like, we all know how this ended with Wolverine. It did not end well for the people who altered him. So
here's the thing.
They're fine.
apparently they have a mind scrambling chip.
Oh, they do have the mind scrambling chip. That's right.
Also, yeah, so far true. It's been going reasonably well with Wreckage. Like, you know, he's not always the happiest to be doing these things, but you know, like I'm sure that there's a lot of hubris here. There's like, in addition to having the most awesome human or living weapon, I will also break him with my super great brainwashing skills. And then I'll just be able, every day I'll be able to look at him and go like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah. You know what? Cool. I will buy that, but it does seem like, why wouldn't he go with someone who's already in his employ?
Like Steel Raven, for example, that would be kind of rad. Yeah. I'd be for that.
Because Steel Raven has been, working on him ever since she heard that. She's like, oh boy, you know what, my shoulder is just shot. I will get you a new shoulder
made of metal.
Family history of just bad backs. And you know,
I went to my annual physical, and he said that if there were any weird alterations to my body, I might just die on the table.
Oh no. Let's go get great.
Not a physical specimen. I don't know what to tell you. Just that's in passing. Amazing. I am not, no for particular reason.
No reason. I do, you know what, though? For Iron Claw, respect for him respecting the wishes of Wreckage. He didn't force it on him. He respected the man and what he's been through, that he put him through, and he didn't like push it any harder. And I could kind of be like, okay, you know what? He knows boundaries and he respects them, and I like him for that.
I think it was more along the lines of like, well, I've already upgraded that dude. Why not upgrade another dude?
I mean, fair enough. I mean, like, maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
Why put extra RAM into the Pentium when you could just get a brand spanking new 586?
Yeah, that's a
great point, Jan. So he says, Rampage, go kidnap Freight. Go to L.A. It's like, great. So he's not just playing football. He's playing football in Los Angeles, which... I'd have to think back. I don't think anybody had a football. I don't think LA had a football team when this came out.
They say the name of the football team. It's the very T-Rexes. Obviously made up.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
Or
made me
it's
laugh,
like
though.
One of those minor league teams. What is the CFL or like, there's another like arena football. Yeah, it's an arena football league.
XFL was like half a season shut down.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't for many years, though. So.
No, you're right. CFL's still around, though. We got to love the Argos, you know.
I mean, love it. Time-wise, I think it would work if it were the WBF. So, like, maybe if you went into Vince McMahon's bodybuilding league, that would have also worked.
Oh, boy. Lex Luger, come back. Come back to us, Lex. we now get a football montage, and I'm just going to put it out there. Look, I follow football. I am a fan of football. I am literally working in the world of football right now. This is the weirdest goddamn take on football I've seen since Mutant League Football, the video game in the mid-90s. What Freight is doing out there is not football.
Look, it I does don't know have football, a... but it looked right to me, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
It's got a real NFL blitz vibe. I could see that happening.
It is crazy. He's just picking up human beings and throwing them across the field. I'm just wrote down, where are the flags? Referee, you have lost control of the game. These are personal fouls upon personal fouls. Also, at one point, he just grabs the ball and, like, throws it behind him. Like, he doesn't even care. Like, that's a fumble. Like, what? Like, and then they say, like, oh, he ran up the score, like, 49-7. Yeah. And it's, like, what is happening?
I definitely saw a part where he had caught the ball. He was the receiver. He was playing offense and defense.
He was
the receiver. Got the ball, and a guy came up to him and was, you know, like, trying to tackle him. And he picks the dude up and throws him, and then the ball like goes bouncing after. So it was a fumble, right?
It's a fumble. That is a fumble. I noticed that. That is not going to help your team win if you're just dropping the ball whenever you feel like it. It's not this. I mean, he was drafted first overall, so I assume he knows the rules of football. One would hope. But I guess, you know, if Superman dropped down on the earth, having never even heard of a football before, he also would be the first overall selected. So, yeah. I guess we could make some exceptions here. But this also implies he played college ball. Like, there's a lot of questions that went unanswered through this football section because he clearly has no idea what the sport is about.
I had no questions. No questions at all.
To you, Gina, this is just what normal football looks like.
It all made sense to me. And also, honestly, I have a feeling that those refs were like, you know what? Viewership is down. No one really likes football anymore.
What are we even talking about?
Like, let's let this fucking beast do his thing. Everyone's going to be tuning in to the next game.
Let's play this out.
What's
going to
happen next? I can't turn away.
Yeah, that's going to go viral on YouTube. And everyone, every ref knows it, so they're holding those flags.
So, unfortunately, the thought process of all those refs, Freight decides he can't do it anymore after one game and wants to quit because combat is real, but this is just a game. It doesn't have the same emotional impact as being a soldier has for him.
I'm not getting PTSD. Why am I even here?
Yeah, thank you. And so Rampage picks this moment to blow a hole in the wall. They have a little bit of a fight, but he hits him with the mind chip in like the neck. It did not look very comfortable at all. And he kidnaps Freight and takes him back to Iron Claw. This takes us to a flashback. Another one. Wreckage has a lot of flashbacks. He can't really appear without having a minimum 3 flashbacks per episode to this one moment where he gets the enhancements put into him. And he decides, this is really tearing me up. I know because I said no to Iron Claw. He's going to go grab somebody else. And I do not want to put another random person through what I have been through. This is character development and growth to a level I was not expecting out of G.I. Joe Extreme.
I don't know why. I feel like G.I. Joe Extreme continuously proves itself to you guys.
Yes, it does.
And you continue to denigrate it. Because I was like, okay, cool. This is cool. I wasn't surprised. I was like, yeah, all right. This is what I was hoping for. And also they do like, they sort of peppered in the beginning when he's like, clearly doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. But I will say that like him stopping it, there's a huge moment, which I'm really, really happy about, which they teased several episodes ago when they were talking about Rampage's like origin story, when the audience sort of clearly knew that it was Iron Claw that did it, but Rampage doesn't know. And he thinks back to that moment when he's being altered. And, you know, there's a general there and he says something and then
get on with it.
What's that?
get on with it. That's what's said, and it triggers his memory.
Yeah, so he says Claw says the exact same phrase, and this is when Rampage puts two and two together and says, holy shit, that general that altered me was actually Claw, who's been lying to me all this time and pretending that he saved me from G.I. Joe, who he told me did this to me. So I, like, this is another one of those things like when the Joes sort of hear that Claw might be evil, that I hope it pays off.
Unquestionably it's going to pay off.
But here's the thing, that other thing never did. Like, G.I. Joe never looked into Claw.
Oh, no, because they've got season two to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I will say that having seen, you know, that this lady sort of gets bumped up to a main character makes me think that maybe the Joes do figure it out and take down Claw and Rampage turns against him and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what I hope happens. I hope Rampage sort of plays the long game, goes back to work for, because, like, it makes it clear at the end that he's going back to work for him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we don't know, but we know. Like, I feel like they're not having a great relationship right now.
I mean, because Freight says to him, like, you know, thank you. And there's clearly an in for him to be like, is G.I. Joe hiring? Ha 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 ha. But he's like, I gotta do some stuff. So I hope he's like playing the long game of, well, you know, staying cool in Claw's good graces and killing him in his sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing is like I am often surprised that they're doing this sort of stuff because I just don't want to be disappointed. Like, yeah, do I hope that all of these things happen? Absolutely. Every episode, I hope they continue these sort of storylines, but also it is a kid's show. It is the 90s. And so I have to assume that they're not going to. Then when they do, I'm pleasantly surprised.
But they've never let you down, Chan. They have proven that they're good and honest and stalwart and true. And you keep doubting them. You
was have there terrible a single in a relationship? Was there a single line from Benny and Bjorn? Did Agnetha sing anything in this episode? No, there was not a lick of ABBA to be heard, and that is the reason why I do not trust them.
Yeah, I don't know. We had a pretty rough 2 years with Deke, where they did not treat us very well at all. There were moments, but overall, very bad relationship. So, Gina, forgive us for getting into a new relationship with somebody who we weren't really sure about, you know, when we first started dating them. But we come home, and their immediate first words are, you're a piece of shit. Like, they don't say that, but we're used to hearing that.
No,
so we're still expecting
to hear that. It has been 11 episodes. No. If you were still doubting me 11 episodes in, I would dump you. If I were G.I. Joe Extreme, I would say, Chan and Ray, I'm sorry, but I'm tired of being doubted. Gina, wow. You consistently expect the best of us, and we consistently deliver, so we will continue on with you.
Do you not love us? Are you not willing to go to podcast couples counseling? Couples counseling?
Wow. I mean, that sounds one-sided to me. You guys are the ones with all the doubts.
Wow. Whoa. Why would I go to couples counseling when they're the one with the problem? Yeah, this holds up. This holds up.
this checks out. This is the Gina that we know and
look,
love.
G.I. Joe Extreme has nothing to prove to you. It's been, again, consistently good throughout the whole time.
It's true. I mean, it really has been. With this one moment here, we have another music video, not ABBA. Wreckage dominates everybody and gets Freight out. Crushes the glove that they were going to weld onto Freight's arm. And give him another power glove. All this for another power glove? That's a little bit weak, Claw. You could have done a leg or something. I don't know. But also, there's a moment when Wreckage and Freight are standing next to each other, and these are the most misshapen human being bodies I have ever seen in my entire life. This was honestly like an episode, an issue of NFL Super Pro, the pilot, the debut, where the guy takes too many illegal steroids and then turns into a giant and like a blob-like Hulk figure. That's what I felt like looking at these two people. I wasn't sure where Freight's neck began or ended. His shoulders were like well above the height of the top of his head. I don't know what was happening with this character, but I loved it.
This was also the point where Wreckage thumbs up Freight, and yeah, in the spirit of it's misshapen bodies, it's not a good looking thumb.
Maybe it's made of a toe.
Oh, like Megan Fox? Can I say that out loud?
Wow, hurtful.
Hey, Gina's laughing because she knows it's true.
I know that it's a rumor, and I'm surprised you've heard it.
Wait, you're surprised I've heard a 20-year-old pop culture reference?
Yeah, to be honest, yes.
Like, all I know, Gina, it's literally where I live. What are we talking about right now? Okay, so Freight, this is amazing. Like, they're at the base, G.I. Joe base again. We're back. Freight returns by, like, parachuting. Like, where did he find a plane to drop out of the sky on the G.I. Joe base? He could have just driven up. Like, how does any of that? I guess it's an island. Never mind. I'm wrong.
I don't know. I feel like it's physically impossible for him to just drive up. I think it is. It's in his nature to find a plane and get a parachute.
I'm surprised he even had the parachute now that you mentioned it. Now that you're putting it into words.
Good point.
Maybe he just jumps out like Captain America. Like, you know, go for it, right? And we're back to the PI. That's the end of the episode. He's like, oh, Freight's back. The end. Great. Two more episodes in season one of G.I. Joe Extreme.
Ooh, I can't wait. PSA. Something big is going to happen.
I feel that. I feel like they're making good moves. Now, I don't know where season two is going to take us, but season one, I mean, we'll do a at the end of episode 13, we'll do a season in review little conversation, which I'm kind of looking forward to because I think there's a lot of cool things to break down and a lot of good things to talk about. But one other thing to talk about is the PSA. We're back to the kid is about to quit baseball, so he gets glasses. PSA.
Yeah, this is like we're 11 episodes in, and I feel like I have seen this 7 times.
You may have seen it 7 times. That is,
I did notice this time that optometrist really looks like an evil scientist. Like, I don't know that he is not putting weird cybernetic implants into that kid.
It's a weird thing because they made him look realistically balding. And it was a weird choice. They didn't have to do that, but they decided the optometrist would have like partial, like thinning hair on top and a realistic crown around it. And I was like looking at it like, wow, there's loving craftsmanship that went into the bald spot on this optometrist in this G.I. Joe Extreme PSA that probably didn't need to be done, but good on you, whoever that was.
No, somebody was getting back at their dad, who's an optometrist. Oh, I was like, snap. I'm going to make a gross-looking monster.
Wait a minute. He's a very good-looking optometrist. I think he we can not. All agree.
No.
This is one of the more attractive G.I. Joe Extreme characters.
Also, not Why do everyone you want to fuck has the problems with Ray? Their parents, Chan.
Dang. Gina coming in hard against therapy this episode.
I love therapy. I think everyone should go to therapy. I think some people are just assholes.
I think you are missing the point of therapy. I think you may love it because you're just doing it wrong.
Are you saying that you should fix assholes? Because I don't think that's the good message to teach to G.I. Joe Extreme. I think
you're the asshole.
No, I'm saying if G.I. Joe Extreme is consistently delivering love and kindness to the two of you, and you're just saying, I expect the worst from you, you shithead, then that's on you. G.I. Joe Extreme should leave and find someone better.
What I hear from all this is that Gina's got a therapist who's been stealing money from her this entire time. She just walks in there and is like, I'm great. I'm Gina. I'm a TV writer. I got a big house, bigger than Ray's. I promise you that. That shithole. And then the therapist is just like, oh, time's up. Gina, you're right. And then he counts the fucking money that Gina no doubt brings in a comical, oversized bag with a dollar sign on the outside. That's how I now picture Gina's therapy, and it explains a lot about this show.
I will just say that perhaps my favorite thing about doing this podcast is when some random one-off snark from the pre-show that doesn't make it onto the show gets brought up on the show proper. It makes me so happy. And none of the audience knows, but I think they can sense that something happened.
Look, and somebody I really believe
holding a grudge.
That the long-term best audience, best listeners of this show They, I think they get it. I don't even think they need to hear the conversation to know exactly what happened. I think they have us pegged that hard. I believe they do. In fact, guys at home, or ladies at home, or however you define yourself at home, I don't want to be exclusionary
of
anybody.
You are struggling this episode.
How is that struggling? I'm trying to be included. Look, it's about what's inside your heart, and I'm goddamn trying. I'm just an awkward ally at the end of the day. How do you think my Who Would Win fans got that name? It's because it's what's inside me. I'm trying. So the thing is, people at home, you know us. What do you think that line was in reference to? Hit us up. Tag us all. Channing, I know you're good for it, but everybody else, at G.I. Joe Podcast, wait, at 999 RPMs, at Almighty Ray, at Gina Ippy, two.
What Gina specific Ippy, line?
The line about Gina ripping on house sizes. That's the line. How do you think that conversation came about?
I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory.
I believe they're going to come up with nuance and context that we didn't even see there. I believe in you, the people. You've gotten this far in this episode. And I believe that you will have some answers for us. So what do you think that snark was about? Hit us up on Twitter. We want to hear it.
That's the show, right? We already did all the contact info.
Well, I guess I just did in a roundabout way. Hey, other projects and stuff. Gina, do you have anything you want to plug? Are you doing a thing?
Am I? Am I forgetting something?
I don't know. Didn't you do like a tournament of nerds or something? Don't you do live shows still?
Oh, I did just do a tournament of nerds. But that's in the past now.
Well, how do podcasts work? Can we go to the past? Will this air in the past? Can they still go?
Yeah, if you have invented time travel, you could still theoretically go.
And that's how you use it, to check out a week-old episode of Tournament of Nerds.
Yeah.
Well done, you.
Good. That's good. And then destroy it after that, because you've already peaked it. with your time travel.
You've peaked. It's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
You're not killing Hitler. I'll tell you that right now. You're only going back a week to go see Tournament of Nerds, starring TV's Gina Ippolito.
Yep.
Chan, anything you want to plug?
No.
Tell them about your wrestling show, Chan, for God's sakes. What the heck?
I do have a wrestling show. It's AE Double Back. I do have a podcast called My Three Dads.
Hey, neat. We should probably make another one of those.
We should probably do that. We should actually have a really good episode on too. I also did a I guessed it on an episode of what is it? Oh, I don't even know the name of the show.
Oh, god damn it, you are the worst.
It's on the Retro Network. I'll find it. It'll be fine.
Oh my gosh. Chan, how is that? I want to be mad at you, but that's such a Chan thing to do. How could I? That's so par for the course that Chan would do a podcast of another person, try to plug it, and then not remember the name of it. That's like straight Chan Bala 101.
I would also do something like that.
I feel like you would remember the name of a show you were on. I do, because you remembered
every G.I.
Joe
character. I don't even know what show I'm doing now.
I mean, that's a fact. Who am I kidding right now?
This is Feats and Stuff, where we review people's WikiFeats pages.
Oh, no.
And we really appreciate how you've opened up to us. It's been very illuminating for all of our creepo listeners.
Is it called Feats Don't Fail Me Now? Because you pass or fail the feat.
Everything is upsetting right now. Well, I'm going to plug a new thing to plug. I'm going to plug Test, the IVF film, which is short film that I was in playing myself. Wow, I did a great job acting. I don't know if I'm believable as me, but people seem to really like this. It's based on my wife, Melissa, and it's about her blog with fertility and all the IVF treatments and stuff we've done and went through. And it's actually doing really, really well. It's been debuting at all these film festivals around the country, and it keeps winning the best movie award. And we're talking like it won at the Walla Walla Film Festival, had like 126 movies and short films, and it was number one. So like, wow, it must be me, right? It must be my tremendous acting that pushed this thing over the top. What I would argue is it's winning all of these awards at these very nice festivals in spite of the fact that I'm in it. So it must be extraordinary.
Y'all should go out and watch it, if only to see how much Ray's wife had to step down to deign to be married to Ray. Like, Ray lucked the F out.
Yeah, so look, I obviously married up. I mean, that goes without saying. But she's actually very, very talented. And did a wonderful job, you know, kind of co-writing the movie. I mean, to be fair, it's based on her writing. So I don't know if necessarily she didn't write the script, but like it's all based on her stuff. And she's the star of the movie and all over it. It's such a wonderful production. It's such a wonderful movie. I haven't actually seen the final cut yet because I always have to do a kid watching duty while these festivals are happening and it's airing. So I have not actually sat down to watch it yet. Everybody's telling me how great it is, and I'm just kind of nervous because it's a very personal thing and not necessarily something that's going to make me feel comfortable. But you can find it on Facebook. It's got its own page now, A Test, the IVF Film, and it's airing digitally on all of these different festivals. They like air it over the internet and these various showings. So if you have any interest in this, it's something that you might enjoy. It's a very heartfelt movie. I promise that. And you might really, really like it. And I'm there too. So you might hate that part. It's really weird who we got to play Chan and Gina for the podcasting scenes of this movie. I mean, it's crazy, you know. I won't spoil it's stunt casting. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I was disturbed by it, but also strangely aroused. So
should I say it? We got The Undertaker to play Robert Clark Chan. Did a wonderful job. I mean, he put on the wig. I mean, he went on the Hawaiian shirt and the jorts. And you would swear to God, you wouldn't know that was 6'10", The Undertaker. You'd think it was Robert Clark Chan.
He did get down on his knees to play me, and he was still taller than I am. So
yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You couldn't dig up the corpse of Captain Lou Albano.
Well, wow. Gina, spoil the thunder. The corpse of Captain Lou Albano plays Gina Ippolito.
Was a masterstroke.
Wow. You know, what a genius move.
Yeah.
Turns out he's buried right here in Panorama City. Is he even passed away?
Captain Lou? He's been dead for years.
Okay. Made me nervous because as they keep reshowing the Super Mario Brothers show, it's like he's alive all over again.
He died in 2009, so he's been dead for quite a while.
Really missed the press clippings.
Like that you cast a dead Italian-American to play me. At least it's accurate.
And to be fair, in the chat, I did put a quote from Chris Pratt, which said, actor Chris Pratt has confirmed that he will play the role of Mario in his normal voice, stating Mario isn't Italian anymore. He's normal now. Gina, how do you feel about that quote? I don't even know if that quote's real, but I loved it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's probably not real.
Might be real. Chris Pratt's, you know, he has some red state tendencies. I'm just saying. He might go so far back that he treats Italians like people treat the Polish people in the 80s. Like, remember that? Because before that, it was the Italians who were the ones getting bagged on, and then the Irish before that. Maybe the Irish were after that. But anyway, America's always been racist, is what I'm trying to say. And it's always been weird. So there's that. Okay, guys, that's the show. Oh, check out Who Would Win Show 2. That's a good show. We're doing Shocktober. AMC Shudder presents Shocktober. We got some good matchups. Just this week, we have Michael Myers versus the Predator. What a fun time. And we've got some more fun times happening. Guys, I feel like I've finally vamped enough that we're over an hour, so I'm going to end the show here.
Why would you need to do that?
Over an hour. The people don't feel like they're getting their money's worth.
I don't think anyone's ever thinking that.
No, not when we're involved at any rate.
I have nothing to add to that. You've already heard our Twitter handles. Go write to us about that house joke. I got nothing else. Okay, bye.
Situation critical.
Roll call!
Harpoon!
Mayday!
Black Dragon!
Thunder Savage!
Quick Sight!
Right, Lieutenant Stone.
The odds are a million to one.
And that's the way we like it.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.